When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt. Our colleague Noel is on an adventure, but he will return shortly.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codename Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's time, yet again, for one of our favorite segments, Listener Mail, where we get to share stories from around the world from your fellow conspiracy realist with you. And this episode especially is going to be a grab bag. Our show prizes transparency whenever possible. So just to put all the cards on the table, Matt, without revealing too much, I think it's okay to say that this is kind of a momentous day for us. We are reaching the fruition of a long-running, very secret enterprise.
Yes. And credit goes to you, sir. I can't believe it's happening. Happened? Will happen? I don't know. It's all things at once. Mm-hmm. Time is a flat circle, and so is this secret project.
Team effort. Noel is not here because he is the first of us to get a face tattoo for the show. That's part of the secret project. No, I'm kidding. I hope I'm kidding. I'm just trying to picture. Some people have really cool face tattoos. I just don't see Noel as a face tattoo guy, or either of us, frankly.
Yeah. I have been looking for something. I need to get my first one at some point. So
you're going to get a tattoo?
I should, right? I should get at least one. These freckles aren't going to connect themselves, so.
Oh, there we go. I used to draw on myself a lot, but what I liked about that was if you get tired of it, you can just wash it off.
So that's what we should all do. Make a really good artist friend and have them every once in a while make something incredible on your body. Keep it for a little while and then you can wash it off.
Man, I have so many commitment problems. I can't even get a temporary tattoo. That's like the whole afternoon. You know what I mean? What kind of person are you going to be at the end of that? Anyway.
Little Pony, usually. That's, you know. I've seen a lot of Paw Patrol.
I wonder what role
tattoos play in like folklore and in fairy tales. Because for our first letter today, we received a delightful, very endearing note that I thought we could use to kick off today's show. And by the way, folks, today, Matt and Codename Doc and I are going through, we're going to try to go through as many as we can, as many phone calls, as many texts and emails, just because this is kind of like, it's kind of like family time for us. You know what I mean? We mean it when we say we want to hear from you. And Matt, I want to put us on, hopefully, again, an endearing note. I would like to read a letter that just came in today that is to you, sir. I don't know if you've read this one yet.
No, I have not.
All right. Well, here we go.
Oh.
This is from Lucy H. And the title is, the title caught my eye, Matt Would Not Survive a Fairy Tale. That's the title.
Hold on. I'm going to read it along with you.
Okay. I kind of disagree for the record, but the title grabbed my attention.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So Lucy, don't worry. It's not a hit piece. So Lucy says, hello, conspiracy realist. Listening to the Flame Witch podcast as a folklore nerd is very entertaining. Will-o'-the-wisp type folklore is one of my favorite types of stories. It really grabs me by the noggin. The thing with these stories is that they are mostly about dangerous creatures rather than being the sort of harmless, playful type that some of us would picture. Most of them are malicious. It cracks me up that Matt is so down to just traipse after it. No disrespect to you, Matt. Love you, man. But that's a bad idea. Or maybe not. Maybe they are just there for a good time. Let me know if you want a list of what not to do in a fairy tale. I've got some items for you. Great podcast as always. Have fun. Try not to die dashing after strange lights. Advice for the ages, I think.
Well, Lucy, you don't know, but I give, and I've heard this from many people, I give very good hugs, and I just want to hug that light, and I have a feeling that if I just embraced it, it wouldn't, you know, maybe burn me from the inside out, or maybe it would, and it'd at least be interesting.
Yeah, you know, carpe diem. And Lucy, yeah, do send in that list. I have a couple of other lists I've pulled from different works of folklore, and I would love to see how our list compares. Also, Matt, just for a second, I thought you were going to say, well, you know, thing about me is I've been told I give 110%. I don't know why.
I do.
You do, though. It's true. It's true. I can confirm. So, I'm just glad that
these tales grab Lucy by the noggin. That's good. That doesn't seem dangerous.
As opposed to something weird by the ankle or the elbow.
Anything that grabs you by the ankle, don't trust it.
Don't trust it. Don't trust it. You can put that up there with don't die dashing after strange lights in the world of good advice. So really appreciated it. This also gives us a chance to talk about something that's been on my mind a lot, which is I want to hear more stories, more works of folklore from the non-Western world, right? Like, we've had a great time diving into stories of cryptids and legends that are unfamiliar to a lot of people in the U.S. or maybe even the English-speaking world in general. So keep them coming. We also have, this is also, by the way, Matt, this is a word salad rambling setup to our first voicemail today, which I believe comes from a biologist who's got a take on something that I think has interested both of us and a lot of our fellow conspiracy realists for a long time, which is thought forms, right?
Yes. This message comes from someone called The Carbonate.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Great work. I'm always impressed by the attention and clarity you bring to some things that are often left untouched. And I was really interested in your conversation about mimetic warfare. And as a biologist, I was thinking about just how DNA is essentially information being replicated and spread through kind of these carbon-based systems. And it's not entirely dissimilar from a meme just being spread through these sort of electronic systems. And so essentially life is just the replication and repetition of information. And it kind of freaks me out a little thinking about memes in the sense that they do spread and they do replicate, and in a way they may be non-biological organisms. So when you ask kind of who's controlling the memes, like who's generating this, I almost stop to think that they may actually be organisms unto themselves in a way that we are not traditionally used to thinking about. And the memes may be seeking their own ends in self-replication, using us as a host, in the same way a virus is a replicating pattern that needs to use a cell to replicate its, you know, next generation. I think maybe it could be the same thing where memes are using us as their host and replicating, and they have taken upon their own evolutionary success and are trying to spread in the same way that living organisms do. I think the same could be true for corporations, nation states, religion, other ideas as essentially these replicating non-biological organisms. As a biologist, that terrifies me to no end because it's life I believe in, not machines. And so I don't know. I thought you guys might get a kick out of that interpretation. And I wonder if you think that potentially memes could be organisms in their own right. And we've kind of accidentally created a new form of organism. And really let that badger out of the bag. You can call me the Carbonist, and you can use my voice on air. So love the work, love the show. Keep up the good work, guys. Thanks.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's the kind of conversation that we have when we're not on air, generally. Mm-hmm. Except there's way more, whoa, on my end, at least.
I think it's true. It's something that we have talked about as a group, the nature of what defines an organism. Is it through behavior? Is it through physical attributes? What is the line? You know, it reminds me of the debate over whether or not a virus could be considered alive, right? Or if it's just a thing that is almost like a piece of technology. You know, a virus mm-hmm. doesn't suffer from a lot of the quandaries of existence that haunts the human species. But this is first off
that we're aware of.
That we're aware of. Yes.
We don't think viruses think. We don't think viruses think.
Right. Right. Exactly. Which maybe is a bit supremacist of humans. but there's something fascinating here. First, we have to thank you, the Carbonate, for lending a professional perspective here. Since you are a biologist, people might treat this idea, this concept of yours, which I agree with and think is quite beautiful, they might treat it with a little more credence than if it were, you know, just Matt, you and me going, whoa.
For me, it's breaking out the way he describes a virus replicating DNA through a carbon-based system versus an electronic system for a meme, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go back, or I have to go back to, oh man, I guess it was biology classes where we're learning about how a virus actually injects that DNA into a cell. That cell takes that DNA, replicates it, and explodes with that same stuff out of it,
mm-hmm.
right? That same DNA out. And the virus continues to replicate. And it does feel, man, it just, it feels like it's very similar with a human mind when something like a meme enters and we just want to share it. We have like, I feel compelled to share a really good meme.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, I'm assuming you have something like that maybe?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, this is something that I had speculated on a number of years ago. And thank you, as always, for humoring those kinds of rants, which to be clear are just my opinion. But I believe that compulsion is true. I think it's something that many people have felt. And it reminded me, the Carbonate, you might enjoy reading an article from Smithsonian called What Defines a Meme by James mm-hmm. Gleick in 2011, where Gleick talks specifically about just the idea that you and us on our side have been kind of speculating about independently. He says that information now can behave like human genes. Ideas can replicate, mutate, and evolve. And we definitely see that in the world of memes. A successful meme just becomes kind of a base format. And we've got also shout out to some of our conspiracy realists like Holly, who will every so often make a stuff they don't want you to know specific meme that, you know, pokes fun at us in a well-deserved way. We earned it usually. And that specificity is just built upon an earlier pre-existing concept. I had this trippy thought years ago, man. And I wrote a short story about it where the idea was that when two people share an emotion of some sort, whether it is enmity or maybe deep affection for one another, that in this world, in this fictional piece, that idea becomes alive on its own, right? So it's just it's a different perspective. You know, there are all these cliches about like, oh, the things people do for love and so on. And so in that story or in that perspective, the people that are in love or the people that are, you know, very much opposed to each other, they're being compelled or forced to do things not of their own volition, but because of this non-tangible entity, this emotion as a life form.
That they spawned.
Right, right.
And it all started with a really good hug.
It all started with a really good hug. one way or another. Yeah, and these ideas, you know, they might sound abstract, but as you'll come to see, spoiler alert, in our Mimetic Warfare episode, they're not as abstract as they might sound at first. In preparation for that, if you want to do a little homework, folks, do check out that Smithsonian article. I love this idea of conversation. I love the idea of the tulpa or the thought form, you know, mainly because cognitively and philosophically it can take us to some very interesting places like this upcoming ad break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wait a second. No. The last thing I want to throw in here, I just looked up a few things for anybody who wants to further check this stuff out. You can find a website called philosophytalk.org. And there is, I think it's a program from 2013 that specifically discusses if memes are viruses of the mind. Pretty cool. It's a YouTube video you can watch. They interview someone named Susan Blackmore. She has some really cool insight on it. She's from the University of Plymouth, or at least she was in 2013. And the other is an interview with Richard Dawkins posted on Wired. And it's specifically discussing the word meme that I suppose he coined, at least according to this article he did, in his book, The Selfish Gene. But it was not speaking of an internet meme like the way that we imagine them now. It was any idea or concept that basically travels and replicates throughout culture.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff to think about.
Yeah. And let us know your take on this, folks. Does this seem like it's gobbledygook or does it seem like there's some sand to the idea of living ideas?
Is that idea in the corner watching you? Oh, you better check. It's not in my corner. Still not there. Oh, yep, there it is. Okay, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor,
as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've returned. Let's hop back over to email. We received a fascinating letter slash suggestion from Diana from NJ. Here's what you said. Diana said, "Hi, gentlemen, just listened to your show regarding past life memories. I find this topic very interesting, but wanted to share the story of Shanti Devi. Please look her up. It's a fascinating story. I believe her case caught the attention of Mahatma Gandhi, who set up a committee to investigate, and after spending some time with her, actually agreed that she was truly reincarnated. Love the show. Keep up the conversation and conspiracies, Diana." This is neat. Now, to be clear, not all five of us here at Stuff They Don't Want You to Know are necessarily on the same page about the concept of reincarnation. Just for my part, before we briefly dive into Shanti Devi's life, for my part, man, the problem is one of prerequisites. To understand the idea of past lives or reincarnation, we have to have a better way of understanding what happens to the mind when someone dies. You know what I mean? Like, does the switch just click off and that's it? Are some of the more religious doctrines correct? You know, even the very, very specific ones. We don't know. The civilization, in my mind, doesn't have the tools it would need to test for the existence of reincarnation.
Yeah, it's a long walk to prove it, right? That's a real long walk. Like you said, because of the hurdles you have to jump over to get there. You know, personally, I would say I have not seen compelling evidence that reincarnation occurs, because it's a lot like UFO abduction stories where you have to go on just what someone is telling you. There are strange instances where young people seem to know things that they shouldn't know about, you know, themselves or a person that existed well before they were ever even a thought.
Mm-hmm.
That is odd. That is very odd, right? The strangeness of that occurrence throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this peppering of that experience. It's worth exploring. It's just one of those things that I wouldn't be comfortable saying, yes, I believe in reincarnation anytime soon.
Yeah, I understand. But, you caught my interest again with the mention of children saying creepy things. We had some great responses from parents in the crowd who were like, okay, look, guys, I know reincarnation is a tall milkshake, a long walk, whatever you want to call it. That I'm not saying my kid is reincarnated, but boy, they creeped me out with this thing. And it reminded me, I pulled up this thread from a forum. It was just a list of creepy things children have said. I'd like to share some with you just for funsies, just because we didn't get a chance to do it last time we were talking about this. So one guy says, this is over on Reddit, by the way. This one guy says he was tucking in his 2-year-old and his 2-year-old said, goodbye, dad. And I said, no, we say goodnight. And he said, I know, but this time it's goodbye. And the kid's fine, to be clear. The kid is absolutely fine. It just had another regular day after that. And then one more. Maybe we'll just pepper these out throughout mm-hmm. the rest of the show. But one more. Another person on the same thread says, I was on a bus recently. We were stopped outside a walk-in clinic. A little girl in the seat in front of me turned to her dad and said, death is the poor man's doctor. And that was it. right? Oh, man. So we might throw a few more of those in. Also, please continue to share with us the stories of creepy things you said as a kid or creepy things that your own children have said. While you're working on those or reliving those possibly hilarious, possibly harrowing events, let us introduce you to Shanti Devi. Shanti Devi was born on December 11th, 1926, and lived until December of 1987. She is, as you had indicated, she is most famous for being the subject of research into reincarnation. And it is true, Gandhi did set up a commission that investigated, and this resulted in Mahatma Gandhi himself supporting her claim and saying, hey, this is legit, there's something to it. But other reports by other researchers disputed it. And throughout her life, there were several articles and books published about her. Other researchers also interviewed her. It wasn't just the Gandhi squad and the other researcher, Bal Chand. I think the reincarnation stuff came in when she was about 4 years old. According to the story, she was born in Delhi. She told her parents when she was four, something along the lines of, look, my real home is in Mathura, which is pretty far away from Delhi. And she said, and I'm married. I got a husband. He's fair skinned. He has glasses and he's got a big wart on his left cheek. His shop is located in front of this specific temple in this town. And her parents were like, oh, ho, the weird things children say. And rubber hit the road when she ran away from home when she was just 6 years old, trying to get to this place. And then, you know, she did not make it. Thankfully, she didn't get abducted. Her parents found her. She got home safely. But later in school, she said, look, I'm married. I died 10 days after I gave birth to a child. And that's when a teacher at the school, again, this is all according to the story. Right. There's no video of this, but according to the story, a teacher at the school noticed that she was using words that were part of the dialect of Mathura. And she even named her husband. And so she said, my husband's name is Kedar Nath. So the headmaster is kind of like the principal of the school, does some digging, and they find that, surprise, surprise, yes, there is a shopkeeper named Kedar Nath in Mathura. And this man had lost his wife, Lugdi Devi, about 9 years beforehand. And since we're just stacking coincidence up here, and the unfortunate Miss Devi passed away about 10 days after giving birth to a son. So this is, this reminds me of the kind of stories I would read in like Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown books, may be where I first learned about this. So far, Matt, what do you think? Coincidence? Can we dismiss all this? We don't know how common the last name Nath may be, or Kedar Nath. You know, for all we know, it could be like an equivalent of John Smith. We just don't know how unique it is.
It's a hell of a coincidence, though.
It's a lot.
If she called him out by name, this guy happened to lose his wife. I mean, things like that started to match up. She apparently knew stuff about like deathbed requests that she'd given, right? I don't know, man. This is the kind of thing that makes me want to talk about it more, think about it more. I'm just trying to imagine the experience of just having information in my mind that's just there, that I didn't read it. Well, in this case, she would probably argue that she experienced it. She lived that life. God, that's weird. It's going to hurt my brain.
Well, let's keep punishing our brains here, because it turns out this Kedar Nath guy traveled to Delhi himself, and he did something kind of weird. He pretended to be a different person. He pretended to be his own brother. But this kid, she's a kid at this point, she, according to this story, Shanti Devi immediately recognizes Kedar Nath, and she recognizes Kedar Nath's son, the kid Lugdi Devi gave birth to before she passed away. She knew details about his life, and eventually even this guy got convinced, and he said, well, this kid must actually be a reincarnation of my wife who passed away. And that this story, you know, garnered a lot of regional attention. That's where the Gandhi Commission comes in. That's around 1935. Because of the time period in which this occurred, of course, there's not like audio or video of this person's story. We're reading written accounts. Also, there's a big question that I have that I don't know. I don't know whether or not we'll be able to answer this, but massive thanks to anybody who can answer this. So if Lugdi Devi passes away and there is some kind of gap in real world time between her death and the birth of Shanti Devi, then like what happened? Where was Lugdi in the meanwhile? In some limbo, in some like metaphysical waiting room?
Oh, I'm sure there are numerous explanations for that purgatorial time, right? Yeah. It depends on what you believe. It's what religion did your family believe when you were a kid growing up, and you were Shanti Devi's age at that time.
Yeah. And then complicating the matter, you may have heard in the background there, folks, one of my cats apparently has some strong feelings because he was started caterwauling when we're talking about reincarnation. And, you know, now I can't help but wonder, man, is this cat trying to tell me about its past life? Is it like screaming out like, my name is Derek Jorgensen. I am from Milwaukee. Let me out of this prison.
Would be amazing.
That would be. That's why I'm never gonna get one of those animal translation devices. I'm sorry. I have great affection for my pets, but I'm not super interested in their opinions.
Yeah, I kind of want one for my dog. I swear she says food now, give me food, food now, when she barks at me. But
well, also dogs are different, you know, and fundamentally so. And I don't mean to sound dismissive of feline opinions. If the technology was there, I would give it a go. But you might be interested to know there is a training pad that some folks have been using, dog owners, to get their dog to quote unquote speak. It's like, I don't know if you've seen this, but you lay it out on the floor. It's a mat or a pad, and it has these various things that say a word when a dog touches it with its paw. Like it touches a square that says like outside or like good boy or, you know, pee pee or snack or playtime, whatever. And watching those videos, I know the problems with those things, like the idea that the dog in question could just be taking visual or body language cues from its owner. But I also really, really like the idea of a world in which, dogs in particular can speak with us. Again, yeah. I'm not saying I don't want to hear from any cats. It's just my two cats. I'm not particularly, you know, I don't know what their opinions would be. What if they're into some really weird stuff?
Oh, they are. You know they are. So is my dog. All animals are. I mean, it's just some weird stuff. Man, okay. I can't get my head out of this space. Let's say a 9-year-old child walks up to you, whoever you are, and they say, hey, I was your spouse that died. I'm 9. Hi. What do you do at that point? What do you do?
Yeah.
Well, wow. I'm so glad to see you, but I don't really want to be your parent.
Mm-hmm. And you're 9.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get remarried, just to be clear.
Cool. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're okay. Mm-hmm. You get to live again.
Yeah. And
finally take up violin.
Weirdest day at Dave and Buster's ever. Yeah, this is true. And we can spend more time on reincarnation. To do that, we would love your help. So folks, please let us know other stories of famous alleged cases of reincarnation that we can add to the tapestry here. 1-833-STD-WYTK or drop us an email, conspiracy@iheartradio.com. With this, Matt, I think maybe it's time for us to pause for a word from our sponsors and then maybe return with some, what do you think, voicemail? We've got some juicy ones here.
All right. Oh, we do. Do you want to hear a weird thing my son said just before we go to break?
Yes. Oh, so much. Yes.
Okay. So he was playing Mario Odyssey on his little Switch handheld system. Mm-hmm. And he was playing and I'm watching him. He's telling me what's happening. And then he pauses. He turns the camera in the game. There's a Goomba. He's looking at a Goomba. And he goes, Dad, that Goomba is sus. And I was like, what did you say? He said, don't worry. Don't worry, Dad. It's okay. Sus just means suspicious. And I was like, okay.
Thanks. Thanks, little bro. That's not so much creepy, I would argue, as endearing, right?
I know. It's the only thing I could find in my texture.
That's great, though.
Okay, here's our break.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. You know, I feel like I was talking a big game at the beginning of this segment when I say we're going to go through a bunch of stuff. Just because everything we get is so interesting, it can be difficult. And Matt, I'm sure you can agree. It can be difficult for us sometimes in these segments to try to keep it to a concise kind of conversation, right? We always find ourselves on the precipice of a rabbit hole. So, Matt, you found one that I have yet to hear. I'm going to be hearing it for the first time with our fellow conspiracy realist on the air now. And I think Doc hasn't heard it before either. But all you put in your notes was, can I say this part out loud?
Sure.
Folks, all Matt put in the notes is, behold, a pyramid. So, yes. Color me intrigued.
Here we go.
This is Mohawk Mick with a separate story, or rather inquiry. There's a pyramid out in the Denver area. No, I'm sorry. It's actually in the Michigan area, outside of Grand Rapids. I apologize, I travel a lot. We looked into it upon finding it. It's a large, perfect pyramid out in the middle of, with nothing around it, signs saying that drones will be deployed for trespassers. We looked into its past, and it was a central gathering, information gathering post originally, and then they tried to make it into a college, and the last we found that there was absolutely nothing being done with it. It's extremely weird scenarios behind its history. I'll send you some links to the information we found and see if you guys could maybe use your expertise to dig a little bit further. Apologize for the beginning of the message here. Again, I travel a lot and I got a little misplaced. Thank you so much again for everything you guys do.
So first off, I'm going to point this out. Mohawk Mick, you have an amazing voice.
Oh, I know. God. That's so good. I finally saw that thing on Here's Where It Gets Crazy, our Facebook group, that was talking about the voices of you and Noel. And I finally read through that whole thread.
Do you see where I was like, I'm rigging this election? Everyone vote for
I
did.
Matt. I appreciate that, but I didn't need to be on that list. Come on. But if Mohawk Mick was part of the show, he hands down would take, like, he'd win it for sure.
Yeah, there are a couple of voices that's just soothing. You know, I would listen to, Mohawk Mick read a list of ingredients, you know, and I would probably still find some sort of serenity.
You should do meditation videos on YouTube or about with that ASMR stuff. You should do that, Mohawk Mick.
Yeah, but not the creepy kind.
No, definitely the creepy kind. I don't know if this is the place you're talking about, Mick, but this is what I found. It's outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I found it via Atlas Obscura. It's called the Steel Case Pyramid. Now, again, I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but this is what I think might be it. It's described as one lonely modern pyramid that's gone from corporate think tank to deserted boondoggle. That's their little subtitle there.
Mm-hmm.
You can... Again, steel case, one word, pyramid. You can find images of it. It looks like a very modern pyramid that's just kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It doesn't look like a work of ancient stone or anything like that. It actually looks really nifty. And you mm-hmm. can, you know, when I see photographs of this kind of stuff, it's like umami to me, man. It's red meat. It's snack time. I love urban exploration. I love gigantic abandoned buildings. You know, one day I'm going to get into that huge abandoned hotel in North Korea. Well, we'll see. It might fall apart first, but yeah.
I hope you get to do that.
I hope you get to go too. If you want to.
Yeah.
The trick is getting out. So I think getting in might not be as hard as you think. But with this, like it does, it looks epic. And that's not hyperbolic to say. It's surprising to find that such a large, unique building would end up being abandoned, isn't it?
Right. So let's talk about what its original purpose was, why it was built. It's called the Steelcase Pyramid because that's the company, Steelcase. They're a designer furniture manufacturer, at least they were at some point. And it was built in 1989. That thing looks like it's pretty modern. 1989 is when it was built. It was an R&D center. Now, you know, a pyramid, it really does look like a pyramid. A pyramid structure is an interesting design for that kind of thing. You feel like you may need, a factory kind of facility, a large, open, high-ceilinged place to test out, you know, your furniture and other things, to build new stuff, to actually have a large manufacturing setup. Well, the pyramid itself is 7 stories tall, and it is a pyramid. So you can imagine the floor on the bottom is larger than the floor above it, and then so on and so on and so on, mm-hmm. until you get to the 7th floor, which is apparently just a really nice penthouse, like a place to stay and chill and maybe be the CEO, or at least the person who runs the factory. But the cool thing about this, Ben, oh my God, what's got my gears turning is that beneath the pyramid itself, there's a giant series of basements, sub-basements, where they actually did the R&D and the testing and all kinds of stuff down there.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
it's very Westworld to me.
Yeah. And we know a little bit more about this as well, because you see, this thing isn't just going to go to ground and rot away. Other people, like Mohawk Mick and like Matt and myself, clearly saw the value in this unique structure, and they liked all the cool stuff about it. And they said, hey, let's resurrect this. Right now, as far as we can tell, the Steelcase Pyramid is not, in fact, abandoned.
That's right. You can head on over to switch.com, SWITCH.com, and read all about their Grand Rapids Exascale data center. Whoa. It's now, I don't know if they actually painted it white and red like this, but it appears to be painted white and gray with a bunch of red highlights. And it is a giant data center, as Mohawk Mick, I think, alluded to in his message.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And this pyramid, or at least Steelcase, the company that originally created it, we know a good bit about their history. They have a Wikipedia page that's pretty well-sourced and relatively comprehensive. We can tell you a little bit about why it's called Steelcase. It's not a vast conspiracy. The company just wanted to call itself that because of an advertising campaign that was meant to promote metal office furniture over wooden office furniture.
Sounds like Big Steel is getting in there.
Big Steel, which is a real thing, very much so. It is. This company, Switch, that purchased it in 2016, appears to be the current owner as well. I don't know yet whether they give tours, but I assume it's probably like a lot of other office buildings, unless the data they're holding is super secure or classified or super sensitive, then it might be a thing where you can go into the lobby. By all accounts, the lobby also looks really cool. There's like a massive pendulum hanging from the interior. You can go maybe into the lobby and just say like, hey, I want to go on a tour. Mohawk Mick sent me.
Yeah, do it. Do it. There's also a Switch Center in Atlanta, and I don't know if they sick drones on you there, but well, we could at least try it out. It seems like it's pretty sensitive stuff. Let's not all go to the Switch Centers, okay? That's private property. I'm a little nervous.
Well, you can write to these folks or send them an email or call them and see if they would be okay with giving you a tour, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Just go about it right. You didn't hear it from us.
You didn't hear it from us. So with that, we also want to hear about anomalous or strange or extraordinary structures in your neck of the global woods. Bonus points if you can tell us some local lore or legends about them. You know, I love that stuff. I will go visit that abandoned hospital. Just tell us where it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I guess that I feel about that stuff the way that you feel about flame witches.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it. You just want to give the old structures a hug. No, same. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm so pro hug, as you know. So we wanted to end today's show with a little bit of a mystery. And this was your idea, Matt, and I think it's a really cool idea. We received a mysterious phone call that might send you on your own rabbit hole. Matt, you found this. How about you set it up for us? We can play it, and then we can see what our fellow listeners dig up.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we'll do. You're on the case for this one. You ready? This message comes from someone that throws a really funny, just quick little joke as they give us this brief cryptic message and mission.
Hey, guys, this is Swiffer. I'm going to try and keep this clean. I'm just going to give you a date, and I want you guys to go. January 13th, 2018, the place, Hawaii. Have a good night.
Wonderful. And
that's just, it.
Yeah, full disclosure, Matt, I'm pretty sure that we have our own belief on what we think this thing is, right?
I think we know. Can you figure it out too? All you have to do is Google it. Oh man, this would be so much more fun if the internet wasn't a thing.
Yes, yes. Well, let us know what you find. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks as always for tuning in. Thanks to one and only codename Doc Holliday. Here's how you can find us online.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you, but Ben, for some reason, it tickled me greatly that caller said, hey, this is Swiffer. Going to keep this one clean.
Clean.
I don't know why. I really particularly
enjoy Cuban B.
Well, you can find us all over the place. We are on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube at Conspiracy Stuff. You can also find us on Instagram, where we are Conspiracy Stuff Show. Got to add that extra show in there. If you've enjoyed this episode or any of the other episodes you've listened to this year, why not head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and give us a review? It really does help the show, and we would appreciate it greatly.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's the only thing that's keeping our producers from kidnapping us and making us get real jobs. So please do leave a review. If you do not sip the social meads, we of all shows on the internet absolutely get it. And that's why we always like to tell people we have a telephone number. We have a call-in line. You can reach us right now. It's a true story. Say it with me. 1-833-STD-WYTK. 3 minutes. Those 3 minutes belong to you. Make a sick nickname. Give yourself a cool moniker like Mohawk Mick. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us if we can use your name and or story on the air. And most importantly, don't feel like you have to censor yourself if you have a story that needs more than 3 minutes. If you have links, if you have pictures, if you have video, we would love to see it all. We read every email we get. All you have to do is drop us a line where we are.
conspiracy@iheartradio.com. Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.